Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L.
Now, let me start this episode by saying we all have this basic need for both variety, but also certainty. And a lot of you probably don't think about it that way. In other words, we have a need for spiciness in our lives, but also we need a place for, you know, basic, right? Routine in our lives. So if you think about this kind of in terms of a diet, you know, every now and then we like to get spicy food or crazy food or try some new ethnic food that we've never tried before, you know, that might, you know, inspire or tantalize our palate. But most of the time we like to eat what's predictable and the things that we grew up with and the ways that we understand food the best. Sometimes this food gives us adventure, while other times it gives us just predictability, right? Well, how does that impact our relationships? Well, because it does. In many ways, it does. It wreaks havoc to many relationships. And let me explain. So several weeks ago, I had somebody who contacted me. He said, I don't know what to do. My wife keeps telling me how I've changed, and I keep telling her I have not changed. I'm exactly the same person that she married. And I wrote back, I said, I am so sorry to hear that if you haven't changed, because you are missing and you've missed a great opportunity. He was falling on the trap of feeling like he had to be the same. That certainty was his path forward. And my guess is, in reality, he had changed greatly. He just didn't know it. And his wife was tired of dealing with the variety. She wanted something she can count on. You see, that's part of where we see the struggle in relationships, because when people say, I haven't changed, they're not bringing any variety. But then there are people who are constantly changing and looking for something new, the next greatest best, and they forget that there is also the need for certainty, for predictability. The problem is that when we're talking about connection, connection comes both from certainty and from variety. A few weeks ago, I had somebody else who contacted me and said, don't you think that I just need to play hard to get? Don't you think that might help spice up our life a little bit if I played hard to get? And my response was, if you were very connected, absolutely. That may be a good thing. Not hard to get. It may be a good thing if you were very connected. But hard to get is really trying to manipulate the need for variety. That's something that plenty of people might try in the midst of a dating relationship. It's a strategy people try to do to make people interested, because it does work on the human need for variety. It works. The problem is at some point that can exhaust somebody. If somebody feels like they're constantly having to deal with this variety, this uncertainty of behavior from somebody else, eventually it is exhausting and they tend to fall apart. The problem is certainty is just as detrimental to a relationship, taken to the extreme. If you know exactly what to expect all of the time and nothing new is in your relationship, it does stall out and become boring. There has to be a balance point between certainty and variety. Now, notice what happens when you start a relationship, when you build a relationship. Every relationship starts in novelty because everything is new. It's scary. It's exciting. It's intoxicating. because you don't know anything about this other person. And everything is new. Everything is discovery. Every conversation is new material. Every time you go somewhere, it's a new place to go together, even though you might have been there before. Every interaction you have is new. Every physical interaction you have is new. Everything is constantly new and exciting. That's part of what leads to that place of infatuation and excitement in the relationship. Those are the butterflies in your stomach. The problem is that it's not sustainable in a long-term relationship. Eventually, you're likely to have the same conversation the second time, the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, and many other times after that. And you're likely to go to the same restaurant, or at least the same type of restaurant. You're likely to have the same type of touch. You're likely to have the same interactions along the way, the same arguments along the way, and eventually everything might feel like it's the same. And sameness happens around patterns of actions and interactions. And this can very much stagnate a relationship. And if that's all that happens, if all that happens is a couple finds that sameness, they often find that the excitement and the feelings of passion also go away because there's no variety to it. Many times when that happens, both people become very bored with the relationship. Sometimes one person decides to look for variety elsewhere, whether it's in other activities, other relationship, other people, or maybe other affairs. They begin to look for that because, as Tony Robbins points out, that's a human drive. It's a human need. So if it's not there, it gets to be uncomfortable. If at the beginning of a relationship, everything is new, sometimes that can feel very uncomfortable, too disorienting and off balance, but it's exciting and it brings in that, you know, that layer of infatuation. But over time, the certainty is what takes over. There's no way for it not to. Certainty has to come in. Even if that certainty is around, let's say you have an argument, you know, again today, that certainty still catches us by surprise. That argument still catches us by surprise. And often when we shift to that sameness, we lose the variety when we end up in what feels like a bored and stale life. And the bored and staled often feels like disconnection. Think about how that is. You know, if you come home and you know exactly what's going to happen that evening, and you know the exact meal you're going to have at the exact time, and the exact way the evening is going to unfold, and the exact way you're going to follow up with going to bed, the everything is exactly the same. There's not a lot of need to talk about it. There's not a lot of need for interaction around it. You both kind of know what's going on, and eventually that can feel like a lack of connection. The disconnection begins then to take over. Now, let me be very, very clear here. It's okay to have predictability, to have stability. That's what creates our rhythms in life. It's okay to be predictable, but that doesn't mean you can't bring in variety into your life. Sometimes we also need that variety in order to re-energize the relationship, to reconnect with somebody over something different. Think about it kind of like cooking. As I talked about earlier, we always have this basic level of ingredients, but even with the basic level of ingredients, you can add new spices. You can add, you know, try new spices with that. There's only a certain number, but if you kind of look in a household, there's also a certain number of ingredients that are likely to be present that maybe you haven't used or you haven't used with this type of meal. But how many ways can that same ingredient be put together with different spices? It's kind of like recognizing that there are only a certain number of letters and only a certain number of words that are often used in human language, and yet they come out in different book form and in different story form and different films and different poetry over and over and over, and in even different styles, where some might write poetry and others write fiction and nonfiction with the same set of words and letters. because of the way they're put together and because of the ideas that come into that. So part of our task is to recognize that there's that basic level of ingredients that might be there, right? That's the certainty. That's the predictability. But how you decide to put them together and add spices to them can change it. Not only that, but many times what couples miss out on is the fact that they're constantly evolving. You're not the same person you were 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Your interests have evolved. Your needs have also evolved. Your maturity has evolved. And your responsibilities have also evolved. Among many other things, you are just not the same person. Everything is constantly evolving. You're constantly evolving. The problem is many times couples miss out in that fact. They lose track of the fact that their spouse may no longer believe exactly what they believed when their relationship started. But you don't know that unless you're connected enough to have those conversations. Your dreams might change. Over the past couple of weeks, I've heard several conversations with couples where the disconnection was over the fact that one person's dreams had changed and the other person wasn't able to keep up. Sometimes it's because the other person didn't even know about that dream. Other times it's because that dream felt so foreign to them that they felt like they needed to get back to the reality of life. Not the dreams of life, but the reality of life. The other person was ready to step into the dreams and make that dream their new reality. But the other person wasn't ready there. They weren't there yet. And sometimes that's the friction point. One spouse may need some reliability while the other spouse may need some variety at some point in time. But usually both need both. Both people need a balance. We all have a natural level of how much we need. Maybe you need less certainty, more variety, or maybe you need less variety and more certainty. And your spouse is at a different level. The task of a marriage is to make room for both people, to make sure that whoever has the need for certainty, which sometimes feels like safety, that's created in the patterns between you. And if the other person needs variety, well, that's created in healthy ways between the two of you. There are unhealthy ways of pursuing certainty and unhealthy ways of pursuing variety. But there are healthy ways of doing certainty and healthy ways of pursuing variety. And the task of a couple is to find that balance point that fits for both of them. Which brings me to four ways that you might fit this into your relationship. Number one is always keep growing. Always keep growing. Be lifetime learners, both as individuals and as a couple. As an individual, it's okay to explore and have different hobbies from each other. It's okay because that brings in outside excitement. It brings in something new and novel in that relationship. Now, you have to negotiate those things, but both people ought to be exploring their own places of personal interest and ought to have that taken away if the other person is not interested in that. I encourage a lot of couples to do a life list, all the experiences and places they want to go and see before they die, and share it with their spouse. And I suggest that there are really only a couple of categories. One is the category of things you want to do together. The other category of what you would be willing to support the other person to do. But there's no category that says, no, I won't support you doing that. If it's somebody's desire to try something, unless it doesn't violate any morals or values, deep morals or values, the other spouse should always support that. It brings energy into the relationship. Now, I also encourage couples to always do new things together. When couples together are creating variety, it means that they are more connected around that new variety than otherwise. It gives them an opportunity to try new things in different ways. Now, number two, I suggest that couples ask each other how to make things better. So you might have a conversation with your spouse and say, okay, from 1 to 10, one meaning this is a horrible relationship and 10 meaning this is a perfect relationship, where would you rank us? If they rank you at a 7 or an 8, it's a good time to ask the question, what would it take for us to get to a 10? Now, if they're ranking it at 2 or 3, it's not the time to ask what would it take, you know, to get it to number 10. But what would it take to get us to number 5? If they're already at 5 or 6, what would it take to get to 7 or 8? And as you get to the next place, you can always ask, what would it take to get us to the next level? Because that creates the targets for the change that can help. Now, what needs to change in order for us to get to a new place? Well, that's an interesting conversation to have. Not one to have in the middle of an argument, though, but one to have when both of you are ready and looking for some place to grow into. Now, number 3, always be willing to experiment. If your spouse is pushing for something a little bit different, I'll always be willing to experiment. Remember, experiments are not lifelong choices. Let's see how it goes. Now, there is one level that I want to suggest, and that is that morals still hold their way, meaning morals and values are not compromised by new things. If one person says, I'm morally opposed to that, that's different than trying something new out. If you're morally opposed, be sure that it's not just a discomfort with change and something new, but that it truly is something that violates your moral compass. So if it hits your moral compass, that's off the table. And of course, that includes your physical and intimate life. I mean, make sure that you're willing to be a little experimental, but not to the point that would feel like it's a violation of your morals or your spouse's morals. And both people have to agree to abide by the other person's moral stance. That's just non-negotiable. And lastly, number 4, change together. But let me be clear that changing together does not mean that you have to change in exactly the same way, but in concert. In other words, in conversation. Both of you can be changing, but do it together. Let each other know what's changing in you. If your beliefs about life and the universe and what this life is about, you know, change, share it, and bridge that gap. The danger is surprising a spouse with how much you've changed without letting them be a part of that process. Walk each other through your change process. Both of you are naturally changing, remember that. So there's no reason to fight about that or fight against that. So just make it a choice that you're going to change together. Always make it a priority to have those conversations when you have new dreams, new desires, new hobbies you want to try, new foods you want to try, a new way of thinking, whatever that is. That's changing together, is that communication, having those conversations so you guys are both in concert. Not by changing the exact same way, but by letting each other know about the changes within you. So that's the way we bring certainty and variety into life. Both of them are necessary elements. Both of them are human drives. Usually when we're stuck, it's because we are unbalanced on that. And in any marriage, the struggle is to bring that into being a we together. We are changing together. We are moving forward. And we are finding both certainty and variety together. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on 4 fundamental pillars. 1, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. 2, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. 3, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And 4, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.